You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. Good to be with you. I'm solo this week. And if you're a new listener, I want to especially welcome you. I'm glad you're here. If you haven't had a chance to hear last week's episode, my guest, Benjamin Rutledge, was great. He has an interesting background. He was raised in Jackson, Mississippi. His mom is Czech, and he now lives in Prague. He teaches Cold War history and is studying for the CFA. So we talk war and economics and personal finance. And he was actually the guy who told me that there was a Charlie Kirk and Irina Zarutska memorial in Wenceslas Square. And at the end of the episode, Benji, he's a very strong Christian. He suggested in the waning minutes of our episode, of our discussion, that it'd be great to see Erica Kirk forgive the man who killed her husband, which was a perfect end to the episode because, one, he talked about Christ throughout the episode. And then secondly, I would say that we as Christians know that God commands us to forgive those who've done us harm, even the most irreparable harm, as in the case of Charlie Kirk. So Ephesians 4:32, believers are told to forgive each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And I saw a post somewhere, I don't know who wrote it, but pertaining to Erica Kirk forgiving her husband's assassin and Trump. Remember, Trump basically said, that's how we're different. So I don't know where this post came from, but here's what it says. Erica, as a Christian widow, rightly forgives her husband's killer, obeying Christ's command to pray for enemies and entrusting vengeance to God. Her refusal to hate reflects the gospel of grace. President Trump, as the civil magistrate, rightly burns with righteous anger, for God has entrusted him with the sword to punish evil and uphold justice. His call for the death penalty does not contradict Erica's forgiveness, but complements it. She lays aside personal vengeance while he bears public responsibility. That's good. I, personally, have had the good fortune of forgiving several people in my life. Those who've cheated me or stolen from me or abandoned me, tried to kill me, all those people have been forgiven. And about half of them, who I no longer stay in contact with, they have been forgotten into oblivion. And I strongly recommend it because you're free. When you forgive, you free yourself. You're freeing your soul of an entanglement with those who don't share your values. And there's not a whole lot more crucial to living a bigger life than to make sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people. And forgiveness, of course, isn't just for the perpetrator of whoever does the evil deed. Forgiveness is a way to rid yourself of anger and bitterness that you may harbor. Because you have a choice in the matter. You largely control your directing mind, which is a phrase that I started using after reading Eckhart Tolle. He uses it a lot. He's the author of The Power of Now, which is a book I recommend, especially the audiobook. He wrote A New Earth. I recommend both those books. But Marcus Aurelius used to say it, the Stoic Roman of old. He used to use the phrase directing mind a lot. Something that stood out from Tucker's speech was he talked about the Lord's Prayer being given to us by Jesus, saying that we're demanded to forgive other people, but preceding that is a request for our forgiveness. In other words, forgive us our sins, meditate on what we've been doing wrong and how we've fallen short, and then, only then, does it become possible to forgive other people. I may be paraphrasing him there, but he said that it's a call to change our hearts from Jesus and that's the only way forward in this country. That's the only solution to where we all know we're going. And Charlie knew we were going where we were going without that. And of course, in the Lord's Prayer, it states, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But watching Charlie Kirk's widow. That was the most impressive, most admirable thing I've seen this year. Standing before 73,000 people and millions of people viewing at home and on the internet, and to say, I forgive that young man. There's nothing more powerful than that. And my new buddy Benji in Prague, he called it. And, you know, nothing more perfectly illustrates the difference between the left and right. Remember when the left started all the cancel culture? And like they would just cancel people's ability to support themselves, to feed themselves, because they didn't toe the Communist Party line. And your average Christian, like myself, maybe we were a little naive thinking, how could all these people be okay with doing that, with canceling people? I mean, they would go looking for things that somebody had written as a 14-year-old and then just try to end them. But at that time, people didn't quite understand the nature of evil, how awful so many of these leftists had become, how radicalized they had become. I know I've shared with you that I was censored by Meta, Facebook, and Instagram in 2020. You know who else was censored? Charlie Kirk's Twitter account was locked. So he was muzzled. And I'm sure you saw YouTube admitted to caving to pressure from the Biden administration to censor Americans for their political views. It was such a terrible time that we lived through in America. All my 40-plus years on Earth, I always believed America was this bastion of free speech and democratic values. Well, there ain't nothing more undemocratic than censoring speech and canceling people. Well, now we realize, of course, that was just the beginning. You know, during COVID, they wanted anti-vaxxers rounded up and put in camps. They shut down small businesses, a lot of small businesses in America, and didn't care one iota for people. People had no way to put food on their table. They didn't give a shit. But if as I said last week, if you think some blue hair with a bull ring in her nose full of boogers who doesn't want kids cares about whether your kids are fed, you are mistaken. Do you think Trantifa would rather your kids be fed or shot dead? I think it's the latter. I mean, if half of leftists believe that assassinating Trump and or Elon Musk would be justified, that tells you a lot. It tells you they need to be crushed using all legal means possible. I see where Comey was indicted today. That's a step in the right direction. But yeah, we're thinking, how could they be okay with doing that? But I remember thinking back then, like, what would my life be like to this point without the ability to forgive? That's a concept they must not even be familiar with. They certainly don't embrace it. I mean, they just wanted to cancel you because you said something 17 years ago on Twitter. Well, maybe not that long. Twitter hadn't been around that long. But how much joy would have been sapped from me due to the inability to forgive? I'd be such a miserable person. And thinking all this through, when people were getting canceled, thankfulness swept over me for being raised Catholic. I would bet your average disgruntled communist, they couldn't define forgiveness any more than they could fascist. And I'm sure if they were familiar, that's a term that they would scoff at, the idea of forgiveness. You're not getting the hate off their heart. Or what if they've discovered they were wrong about something? You think they changed their mind? No, of course not. Like, imagine if a lefty were shown proof that the climate change thing was a big grift to steal or legally steal money for themselves, enriching themselves at the expense of the country, depleting all our resources so your average dummy who thinks he's smart because he went to some top institution of indoctrination in America, it allows your average dummy to feel good about themselves. Stupidly, right? Of course. But imagine attending a lecture about your carbon footprint, only to see the speaker get in his private jet, seated in some big cream-colored lazy boy-looking chair, getting served champagne and caviar by some peasant in a tuxedo. Guess what, leftist? Those elites, the ones enriching themselves while pretending to care about the turtles or some shit, they think you're dumber than a MAGA person. Just to let you know. they hate those that who don't buy into the bullshit, but they have contempt for you too. remember, the boot will be on your neck eventually. That's how they are. Sorry, you got duped. I know you're not going to admit it, but the climate change thing is slowly being revealed, and it'll trigger a lot of cognitive dissonance. Trump talked about it at the UN this week, how countries are destroying themselves by way of immigration and what he called the green scam. He called out the con job that is the carbon footprint. You know how hard it is for people to admit they've been fooled? It's easier to convince someone of a lie than it is to convince them they've been lied to, right? We know that. How many people, till their time on Earth is done, will never know how much of their life they wasted being scared about the world ending and then put it on their kids, too? And thanks to the people they voted for who convinced them of such, who convinced them it was a good idea to give them more of their hard-earned money so they could feel as though they were helping to save the world. What's more virtuous than that? And you just, I guess they hope those temporary feelings of virtue signaling, the virtue signaling self-satisfaction outnumbered the worry and concern that they've lived with their whole life about the climate changing. Remember, these people not only think they're virtuous, but they're also smarter than you. And what we're learning is just about throughout every era of human history, many of them would kill you and laugh because you're dead. Now we know what abortionists are like, right? They don't even want 31-year-olds to live either. I hate to say that. But maybe Trump's wrong and climate change is an existential threat. You know, one of the best ways to ascertain whether someone is intelligent or not is to look at their predictive ability and how many things they were right about. For the dictator, the day one dictator, he says he was right about everything, but I don't think that's true because much of it hasn't been revealed yet. You know, something else that really impressed me in all we've learned about Charlie Kirk, I heard Erica say that her husband, Charlie Kirk, had never once raised his voice at her. And when you see people with those values, when you get a window into the inner workings of their relationship or marriage, it gives you something to aspire to, which is what strong leaders do. It sounds like he set the tone. And I think people like Erica Kirk serve as the epitome of what a woman should be. She's smart and strong and beautiful and a woman of strong faith. But my question is, how do you keep a woman in line without raising your voice? I mean, did he have to raise a hand to her? I'm kidding, of course. Sometimes the pod gets too serious and I've got to lighten things up. I'm anxious to see how much she embraces her new role as the Turning Point USA CEO. I think she's going to dominate. I saw where, following the memorial in Arizona, they now believe they'll have a Turning Point chapter in just about every high school in America. How is that going to change the country for the better? The golden age is upon us. And I've heard it called a religious revival in the West. You know, something I love seeing was Elon Musk's tweet shortly after the memorial. He said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And I'm wondering if maybe Musk might have caught a little bit of that Holy Spirit that Tucker said was, what did he say? The Holy Spirit was buzzing through the Dome Stadium. And what he said was, "Remember being in a room with the Holy Spirit humming like a tuning fork." And with Musk quoting the Lord's Prayer, I think he might start hitting his knees soon with his hands clasped. We'll see. There's a great book called Mail for Mikey. It was written by Orson Bean. You remember Orson Bean? He was an actor in Hollywood for many years. And I don't know what he's best known for. He was in Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. I believe he was a store owner. This was in the 90s. And he was a frequent guest on Johnny Carson. This would have been 70s and 80s. But he's a real sweet guy. And speaking of interesting backgrounds, he was blacklisted in Hollywood for attending a Communist Party meeting with a girl he was dating at the time. And for that reason, he didn't work in television for an entire year. And then there was an episode of the Ed Sullivan Show where he was a guest, and they canceled the episode because he was on this blacklist. Well, Bean had three kids from his second marriage, and his daughter was married to Andrew Breitbart when he died. How about that? from being blacklisted as a communist to having Breitbart as a son-in-law. Well, in the book, Mail for Mikey, he talks about his spiritual journey and conversion to Christianity. And it's probably been 20 years since I read it. It was released in 08. But one thing I remember him saying is that a friend suggested to him, when he had no relationship with the good Lord at all, that God likes it when people get on their knees and talk to him. And so he tried it, and that started a lifelong prayer practice. He became a prayerful person after that, and it changed his life for the better. He started reading C.S. Lewis, and he married a sweet woman in 1993. This was his third marriage, and they were married for 27 years until he died in February 2020, at the age of 91. And I'll tell that tragic story in a minute. But the sweet woman that Orson Bean married was the mom on The Wonder Years. That's right. She was Kevin's mom. Well, and Wayne's mom, for that matter. She was Kevin and Wayne's mom. And she was a Buddhist when they married, but converted to Christianity because of her late husband, Orson Bean. And he even went with her to get baptized as an adult. And, but so this is how he tragically lost his life. It was February 2020, right at the start of COVID, a few weeks after Kobe died. And Kobe died in Calabasas, California, well, 20 miles down the road, south in Venice. Mr. Bean was trying to cross Venice Boulevard, where there are no crosswalks, and he was trying to get to the theater, Pacific Residence Theater, I believe. And he got clipped by a car, and sadly, as he fell, he was struck by another vehicle, and he was killed. So RIP Orson Bean. I loved Mail for Mikey, and I've gifted it to a few people through the years. It's a great, easy read, lighthearted, fun-loving guy. I recommend it. I went to coffee this morning, went to get coffee across the street. We're in Houston now, by the way, just for a week. And the girl who made my flat white with love, you know, they make the little heart in it when you go to get coffee and take that first sip. I've got my daughter now asking every time we get coffee, "Daddy, was it made with love?" And she wants to see the heart. But I tried to pay with cash, and she told me they don't accept cash. And it started a conversation about personal finance. And I was telling her that it's harder to spend cash, and that I would guess that throughout the years, for small purchases with cash, that's probably saved me, I don't know, if I had to guess, 25% through the years. And, you know, it's just too easy to swipe a card. And I like showing my daughter the value of a dollar by handing over one of these greenbacks and getting change in return, because she's already made the comment to my wife that, you know, my wife will say we can't afford something, or she doesn't have money for that or something. And my daughter's like, well, you can just get more. You know, she has no concept of where money comes from. I try to explain that I'm working, but I don't know. Let me share this, because I'd be curious to know what you think. When we're traveling, we tend to stay in relatively smaller places compared to how people live in America, at least. And so it happens all the time where I'll be getting dressed and I'll tell my daughter that I want privacy, or do whatever I can for her to not see me naked. And she doesn't know yet that boys have penises and girls have vaginas. And I was talking to a buddy about this the other day, and he said, "How old is she?" And I said, 4. And he said, "Yeah, it's time. She's old enough to know that." But I'm hesitant, and it might be a selfish thing, me trying to retain as much of her innocence, her beautiful innocence, as possible. And, you know, like, what do I do? Do I sit her down and say, "Listen, boo, all those times you were crawling all over me and accidentally punched me in the pills, that wasn't cool. I've got a pair down there that you don't have, and neither do mermaids, nor does Gabby on Gabby's Dollhouse, your besties at school." So that's coming soon for me, I guess, that big penis reveal. Well, not literally, of course, but you know what I mean. Revealing that boys have a schlong hanging low and wobbling to and fro. That could be tied in a knot or tied in a bow. There'll be no big penis reveal. That was a poor choice of words. That isn't, unless she comes home from kindergarten one day after walking in the wrong bathroom and asks me something like, "Daddy, why do boys, some boys just have a stack of buttons, and my friend Tyrone at school, he's got a third leg." There'll be no size talk, because that doesn't matter. Am I right, ladies? Yeah, and you love dad bods too, I know. Remember me telling you an inside secret among real estate professionals? They would say, buyers are liars and sellers are worse. I would hear that all the time around the office. Well, you know why that is? It's because women make probably 80% of the buying decisions. And newsflash, they don't know what the hell they want. So sitting down with a female real estate client and have her tell you what she desires in a home would be no different than sitting her down and asking what she wants in a man. whatever she ends up settling for almost never matches what was written down in the initial meeting. And with few exceptions, she will want the house that is just out of her price range. So there's a mismatch between what she brings to the table and what she desires in a man or a home, I guess. So she neglects to think about what she brings to the table. Well, come to think of it, I don't have any women I coach who are single. I've got three now, which is the most I've had at one time, and they're all married. But if they weren't, I would coach them up on how to make a dating profile more appealing. That is a service that I would offer, maybe free of charge. And where I'd start is, all these things you say you're looking for, let's erase all that. We're gonna make your profile stand out by making you the first woman on a dating app to talk about what you have to offer that a good man might actually find attractive. Yeah, I know it's a novel concept, but we're going to try it. And if you message a man first, we're going to get you saying more than one word. We're going to have a rule that you can only say hi if it's followed by more words. That'll be my way of continuing to honor Charlie Kirk's legacy and get more people married and having kiddos, because I think that's what's best for society. And kiddos born with either a penis or a vagina, that's what used to dictate whether they were male or female. You remember those days? And nowadays, I'm afraid if I could convince a blue hair to take the ring out of her nose and clean off the boogers and get married, that if she had a little boy and that boy tells her when he's three that he likes wearing dresses and thinks he's a girl, this poor excuse for a mom would say something like, oh, okay, honey, well, let's go see a doctor for a consult and it'll be great. She'll ask how you feel, and you can tell them you feel like a girl, and maybe she can cut your dick off. Good mom. Good mom. Before we go, the latest in the best movie ever, breaking news, that POS Comey has been indicted. I know they say the process is the punishment, but it'll be interesting to see if, once presented with the evidence — he's being a little cocky right now, but it'll be interesting to see once he's presented with evidence if he'll start chirping. And judging by his manner, him being weak and a lying slime ball of a theater kid, I think he'll give he's going to give up somebody bigger than him. I think that's inevitable. Did you see the little selfie video of himself upon finding out he'd been indicted? If you're a theater kid, don't theater kids practice their lines beforehand so that they're delivered well? Actually, don't actors memorize their lines? Well, not the lazy ones, evidently, because that dude just read from the script like he was auditioning for a role in the next jailhouse theater production or something. It is terrible. It's obviously the first time he's read his lines. There's a video from Comey from January 21, 2021, the day after Puddin' Brain was sworn in, and he was calling for Trump to be thrown in prison and prevented from ever running for office again. He also talked about how they could put Trump in a double wide where he could eat and shower and get some exercise. He was deadly serious. So this guy needs to be buried for everything he's put the country through. I like how they're starting with the most smug girly man, and then let's see who he gives up. It'd be a lot of girly men going down, probably. Because I don't think he has the principles or the honor that maybe, let's say, a masculine man would. And he even looks like a rat. So Mike Benn said, arresting all your political opponents for non-existent crimes, then committing a bunch of real crimes, then losing the next election to those opponents is just a really bad combination. Mike Benz is so good. If you don't follow him on X, I strongly encourage it. He tells you all the inner workings of the deep state and USAID and will show you how money's been laundered through the years. He's really insightful. He's mega autistic, I'm pretty sure. And he is just like Data Republican. There are some autists who are just dominating right now. And I even think, I don't know if I've said this, but I think a lot of what they're discovering is probably thanks to the big balls of the world. And I think probably the criminal organization wasn't expecting that they could dig in and find things that were old and probably deleted, or who knows. But The other latest news is they found that 275 plainclothes FBI agents were in the crowd on January 6th. And I'm pretty sure by plainclothes, they mean MAGA hat, Trump shirt, and maybe an American flag. That was probably their plainclothes. But that never came up in any of the show trials, of course. But it seems like an important point, don't you think? 275 FBI in the Fed's direction. Nor did Christopher Wray, another terrible FBI director, nor did he mention that before. I think he admitted to 26 being in the crowd. Well, you shorted that number. You shorted us on that. It was more like 10 times that many. So it's all coming out. If you ever wondered why July 13, 2024 had to happen, why that occurred, you're wondering no more. He had to be taken out because once they failed to imprison him or bankrupt him with all the lawfare and could see he was going to be president again, he had to go. Remember after Trump was shot, the press conference to go over all the details of what was an attempted assassination of a former president? You remember that? After he almost took a bullet live on CNN, sparing his life by less than an inch. You remember that press conference and all the background details of the shooter, Thomas Crooks? No? Yeah, me neither. What is happening now is what they were afraid of. Remember me sharing you the movie line Jack Nicholas used where he was talking to a woman and said she had asked him how he writes women so well in his novels. He was an author. And he says it's because he thinks of a man and then he takes away reason and accountability. Well, some girly men are about to be forced into accountability. And, of course, leftists are saying that Trump is going after his political opponents, which is more projection, of course, since they arrested the former president. They raided his house, Melania's draws, as the expression goes. They arrested his accountants, his media, some of the people in the media, right-leaning media, his campaign manager, his valet even. And not to mention, people forget, they tried to ostracize and even disbar any lawyer who wished to represent Trump. So things are ugly now in the best movie ever. But we've got to keep the faith. We've got to pray for our leaders that they be provided with the wisdom and judgment necessary to make the right calls and what's best for our country. I saw where Jesse Kelly said, the world of make-believe created by the media and these Democrats is creating killers. And Democrat voters are mentally shattered because of the world of lies in which they live. And some are angry and depressed and others kill. And the killing will continue, he said, because the lies will continue. You remember when Joe Biden was asked if his number three at the Justice Department resigned to join Big Tish up in New York to prosecute Trump? And his response was, I'll paraphrase, he was basically like, no, and then finished with, I'm honest. What does that tell you? I'd like to see stats on the relative honesty of those who say I'm honest versus those who'd never say that. Or, you know, how much do you trust the guy who says, trust me, bro? Yeah, don't trust that guy. The criminal org that is the Democrat Party, it is in full collapse. And lucky for them, they did spare a few of themselves by pardoning each other. Biden pardoned his family so they could keep all the money they laundered and pardoned Fauci even for crimes against the United States. But the party being in collapse means that they're desperate, and I'm afraid things are going to get worse before they get better. And I believe that due to their desperation, things are going to get more violent, not less. So please pray for our country. Let's end on something positive. I thought this was interesting. Rob Henderson posted this. It's from a Harvard Medical School study. It says, asked to rate how effectively they perform 20 daily activities in comparison to peers, people rated having a conversation with someone new as the only activity in which their performance would be below average. People are harsh critics of their own conversation abilities. Well, I don't know if that ends us on a positive note, but I thought that was interesting. Here's some positivity. Know this, you are the creator of your own reality. You can design a life the same way you could a living room. Keep God first. Know that there's nothing more important than people and relationships. Give sincere compliments. Be grateful for all the blessings bestowed upon us. Write down frequently what you're grateful for. Hug it out with somebody. If the Spirit moves you, tell them you love them. Because memento mori, that's the Latin phrase that means someday you will die. So let that guide your thoughts and actions and everything you do. as we go into this fall weekend full of football and frozen margaritas. I had one last night at El Tiempo. If you've never been to El Tiempo, good shit. I have two, maybe three new coaching clients starting October 1. If you're interested in leveling up your life, let me know. I've got a blueprint that's been handed down to me from those much wiser than I, and I will share it with you. I've shared it with many others, and they are prospering big time. But you have to decide that living a bigger life is something you're willing to work toward, and you could have somebody overseas guiding you along the path, because I will be overseas again next week. That's all I got for you. If I can do anything for you, let me know. I very much appreciate you listening, and we'll chat back at you next week. Thank you, folks.